Alan Gray's Investment Summit, happening in Cape Town on the 22nd of July and Johannesburg on the 23rd of July, is fast approaching, and we're giving away two tickets to one lucky listener. To enter, email your name and contact details to radio@moneyweb.co.za. Entries close on the 15th of July. T's and C's apply. A growing middle class on the African continent, a largely youthful population, and efforts to boost intra-Africa trade makes Africa a very attractive place for investment. But of course, there are high risks in such endeavors, as regulatory frameworks still need to be optimized and other factors. It's known that a number of South African companies have ventured onto the rest of the continent. Some have failed, while others have succeeded, even against pretty high odds, with the likes of MTN coming to mind. Fund manager Alan Gray believes that there are great opportunities on the continent to invest, but that one needs to know where to look. Well, to share his thoughts on investment on the African frontier, I'm joined on the line by Nick Dirutu. He's a portfolio manager at Alan Gray. Thanks very much for joining us, Nick. We know that the likes of MTN, ShopRite, and foreign multinationals like Unilever have progressed well on the continent, but many haven't. Woolworths have tried and failed, as well as Tiger Brands, for example. So the question is, is it possible to invest on the rest of the African continent and get decent returns?
The answer is more nuanced. So indeed, yes, there's been good success stories of companies that have done well on the continent, but there's also examples, like you pointed out, of failures. And I think the first thing to recognize is that it's a challenging environment doing business in the rest of the continent. Anything from sort of the regulatory burden, the political uncertainty, there's been a whole list of challenges that come with doing business in the rest of the continent. Mm. But what we often see is that the businesses that have succeeded are actually ones that have a competitive advantage, or at least have a competitive edge. And trying to identify what that is, I think, is paramount to success on the continent.
Mm. When you survey the land of opportunities on the continent, where do you see possible value, what sectors, and in which countries?
So I often shy away from sort of specifically mentioning any sectors. And the reason for that is that what we often tend to see is that people often focus on sort of the high growth markets, or markets with sort of, very seemingly attractive growth prospects. But often enough, those industries and those sectors often attract capital, which then, lowers the return or future returns on invested capital in those markets. Mm. So what we often find is that oftentimes when there's uncertainty and when people are fearing to go into these markets, that's when valuations are pretty attractive. And often, for equity investors like ourselves, at the end of the day, what we are looking for in these markets is to find attractive opportunities that can generate attractive returns for our investors.
What are some of the factors one needs to consider in making the decision to invest on the continent? What are the key drivers?
Yeah, so I think number one is that starting valuations matter a lot. I think the common notion or the common perception that, this is a high growth market and they'll always do well, they'll always be a bull market, I think that is false. I think what is important is to make sure that you understand that, you're buying, businesses that will operate in periods of uncertainty. Certainly there will be periods when there could be currency issues or there could be political instability. So if you pay a very high multiple for these businesses and inevitably you come across those hiccups, you're not going to generate attractive returns. So starting valuations matter. That's number one. And then the second thing is to be patient. And I think taking a long-term perspective is actually quite important, because there will be cycles when, there will be extreme optimism, but there will also be times when there will be extreme pessimism. And sort of understanding that, if you buy a cheap asset and great businesses with a good competitive edge during periods when there's pessimism, often the probability of generating attractive returns is quite high.
Mm. I've heard that term, patient capital. So if you are going to contemplate investing, you shouldn't be thinking about the short haul.
Absolutely, especially in these markets where, there are liquidity considerations, there's all sorts of, potential uncertainty. Taking a long-term perspective and sort of having a contrarian mindset will suit investors very well.
Mm. With the African Continental Free Trade Agreement now ratified by a number of countries, it does set the stage for improved trade. So how should this make the continent more attractive to invest in, and what sectors will be low-hanging fruit for this? I mean, I'm thinking of things like logistics.
Yes, so certainly it's a recent development that is certainly very welcome. In terms of reducing the trade barriers across a number of these African countries. And, you know, a number of these countries often have small internal markets, and by sort of reducing these trade barriers for trading across countries, it helps expand the regional market. So you can imagine for a company or for a country like South Africa, if you have a credible manufacturer, you now have a market size that is effectively the size of the continent. So that's quite attractive for existing players that have sort of regionally competitive manufacturing industries. So I'm thinking about countries such as Kenya or South Africa, or even places like Nigeria that have, you know, strong, good manufacturing countries.
Yes.
So there's certainly cross-miss, and hopefully we'll see how the companies take advantage of that.
Nick, just for ordinary folk listening in who may feel that our conversation is somewhat abstract from where they're sitting, that is, what mechanisms can they use to gain exposure to African markets so that they can benefit from the growth on the continent? And obviously, they would need to tap in, you know, to experts who know the continent and have done their homework.
We often see that the trading costs in these markets and getting set up often don't lend themselves very well to individual investors that want to go and set up a trading account in sort of each and every one of these markets. So this is an area where we find that, you know, looking for a credible manager whom you believe their investment philosophy aligns with yours is often a good strategy and a good starting point. And so, you know, this is not a market I'd advise anybody to necessarily go out and, you know, open your brokerage account and start to trade in this market.
That was Nick Durutu. He's a portfolio manager at Allan Gray.